Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, today's daf is daf Nun Zayin. We're holding the second line from the top of the Yomid, Nishtabru Ragler. You'll recall that yesterday we had a Mishnah on Nun Vav Omid Beis, where the Mishnah said, Ve'elu k'shei rois ba'oif, the following are kosher, they're not trey for their kosher. And one of the cases the Mishnah gave was Nishtabru Ragler, that unfortunately the oif, unfortunately had a broken leg. Nobody likes a broken leg, but it's not the end of the world. And therefore, by the oif, it's also not the end of its world. So now, nishtabru ragleo, it is fine, it is kosher. However, as we'll see momentarily, even though vis-a-vis the raglayim, we're not concerned, we are concerned about the tzomes hagidin. What are the tzomes hagidin? We'll see momentarily. Says Yimara, hu tzana, tzana is a basket. The inkuri, Rashi has two pshatim in Kuri. First pshat of Rashi means oifois shenishtabru ragleyan. Oh, like the case of our Mishnah. Oifois, a whole basket full. I don't know how large the basket was. Maybe there are two oifis, maybe there are three, five, whatever it is. That Nebuch, these oifis had bad, broken legs. Asa the kami derava, came in front of Rava. Now, you or I might have said, well, the Mishnah says, nishtabru ragleyan, it's kusher, sayonara, we're done. No. Rava said, Bodke, you have to be Boydik, Bodke Rava, but Tzoymes Hagidin. You have to go and check out the Tzoymes Hagidin. Tzoymes Hagidin means a group of sinews which are underneath the leg and hold the leg in place. Barry's going to show you momentarily a picture, and maybe you have a picture in your art scroll book as well.
Yes.
Good. So for those of you that eat chicken from time to time, as you know, there's something known as a pulka. For those of you who don't know what pulka means, it means a drumstick. And on the bottom of that drumstick, very often you'll see that on the bottom it's kind of enclosed by a shtikla, and that shtikla is a whole bunch of tzaymes gidim. There are actually 16 gidim that surround the bottom of the drumstick. Underneath that, you have what is called the fisel. This is the piece of the foot of the chicken, which is sold separately. Some people don't even know what it looks like. They have nothing to do with it. They don't want to even look at it. And some people like it. They consider it to be a delicacy. It's, of course, up to you and up to your meatmonger, whoever sells you meat. But bottom line is, those tzoymes hagidin, you have to make sure that they are in place and they have not been severed. Because they've been severed, then that would cause the oif to be treif. So therefore, Nishtabu raglei ataki, you don't have to check the raglayim in terms of the bones, if they're broken up, but you do have to check that tzoymes hagidim, which encloses the bottom of the drumstick to make sure that that is intact. He checked it.
Are those muscles connected, or what? No,
I'm sorry?
Those gidim are connected, is that why you have to?
They are, assuming that I don't have a drumstick here, but if I had one, you put it underneath. It's underneath and it holds it up. It's from the bottom. Oh, where's your drumstick here? Oh, you see that? So you have
the pulka.
The pulka. This is the bottom of the pulka, and around the bottom of the pulka.
So it can be broken. The
bone can be broken.
But these ligaments have to be intact. Because if these ligaments are not intact, it is not kosher. So you have to check out the tzoymes hagidin. Omer the Ramara. Yes.
And any other question?
It's the raisa in the sense that all treifis are halacha l'moishmi. Sinai, all halacha l'moishmi. Sinai have the same darga, the same madrega as if it's written in the pasuk. Now we're going to talk about shmuta. Shmuta means dislocation. Everything is there, it's unfortunately dislocated. If a human being has his or her thigh bone dislocated from the hip bone, it comes out, you know the person could be in terrible, agonizing pain, and very often they're going to have surgery, and they won't be able to walk normally for the next 3 to 6 months. So, that's by a person. By behemoth, lahav, the same thing by oifis, this is also a major event. Now, what is the halacha? Omer v'yuna merab, shmutas yad b'mehema is kshera, shmutas yerach b'mehema is trefa. We are gores, what it says in the parentheses. We are distinguishing between the yad, which are the forelegs, front, and the yerech, which are the back legs. What are the difference between the two? If the front leg is dislocated, it's coming out of its socket, by behemoth, it's kosher. However, if one of the back legs comes out of its socket, by behemoth, is treifa. Similarly, shmutas yerech ba'oif. Ba'oif, we don't have the difference between the forelegs and the back legs. Anybody know why? Because oif only has two altogether. It doesn't have four. So therefore, they're all exactly the same. And what's the din? It's treifa. See, shmutas yerech ba'behemah is treifa. Shmutas yerech ba'oif is also treifa. Shmutas gaf ba'oif. Gaf is now referring to one of the wings, and that one of the wings is also dislocated from its socket on the back of the oif, also treifa. Now, there the reason why it's treifa is not because of the wing. Apparently, the oif could live without that wing, or even if the wing is dislocated. The reason is because of its neighbor of the shochen toiv. In this case, unfortunately, the shochen ra, because he is going to be adversely affected. Who is that shochen? That's the rea. The rea is, of course, the lungs. So if the lungs happen to be right next to that shmutas agaf, so even though the shmutas agaf mitzat atzmoy is okay, but I have to be choish yishem and nikva harei, and then you have to be boidik the reya to make sure it's all fine. However, when you're boidik the reya of an oif, it's much easier than being boidik the reya of an animal. By an animal, you remember we had, you have to go and ultimately fill up a very large basin, perhaps even a bathtub, of warm water, immerse the reya into it, submerge the reya, and then see if it's bubbling or not. If it's bubbling, oh, you know that there's a hole. If it's not bubbling, you know it's okay. Here in the case of the oif, all you have to do is blow it up as if you're blowing up a balloon, and then go and see whether any air, you hear the air or you feel the air escaping from the blowing up the reya or not. The whole reya by an oif is very, very, very small. Moore is going to describe it shortly, like a petal of a rose. Klingshigazach. So you go and blow it up and you see whether or not there's a hole. Okay. Ushmula. So what, that was the halacha that we had Amar viewed Amar Rav. Ushmul Amar Tibodek. Just like Rav said, Chayshin and Shemen Nikva Hare. Let's go back. Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif Treif, Shmutas Gav Ba'oif Treif, Chayshin and Shemen Nikva Hare. So Rav says, if Shmut is a gap for oif, it's treifa chamoira that there's a hole in the reya. Shmuel says, I agree with you, Rav, but you don't automatically have to go and say that it's treifa. Tibadik, go and be boidik the lung. And as we said, how do you boidik it? You just go and blow into it to see whether or not the air escapes. Tibadik, you got to be boidik. Now, Chizkia says something which is fascinating. Chizkia Omar, ein reya lo oif. An oif doesn't even have a reya. And the Gemara is going to struggle with this for the next few lines. Stay tuned. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, yesh lo, no, no, no. An oif does have a reya. It's small, a granted. V'yeshna ke'alosh shel ver. The whole size of it is as if you're talking about the petal of a rose petal. Yeah, a large rose petal. It's very nice, very pretty. However, it's very, very small. And it's been akafayim. You'll find it in the inside of the oif between the wings. Great Gemara, my ein reyla oif. We just heard from Chizkia, there's no reyla oif. Ilema, what does that mean? The less they klal, there is no reya. Anybody that buys a chicken, of course nowadays when you buy a chicken, you don't see any of the inner organs because of the fact that it's already been nicely cellophane packaged and they've taken out all of the organs and you just go and see the pieces of chicken that you're going to go and eat. However, in the good old days, you used to go and take an oif, a live oif, you took it to the shochet, and then the shochet shechted it, and then you brought it back home, and you flicked it. Flicked means that you plucked out all the feathers, and you had to go and salt it, and of course you had to go and clean it all out, so anybody that bought an oif knew exactly that there's something known as an areya, mitatsoimis agidim, and mitazefek, and mitakurkaban. This is a double pashit. Nowadays, of course, things are a little bit different. Don't you see when you buy your oif that inside is a reya? Allah says, Igmaru, what Chizkia presumably meant when he said, ein reya l'oif, he means there ein tarfis l'reya by an oif. Elgli mitrif pe, that when you have an oif, there is no trafis associated with the oif like you have by behema. Frank Timura, that doesn't sound right. Vatani Levi learned in a brisa, treifa shemona chacham ben behema kinegdem ba'oif. Behema and Oifa basically brothers when it comes to Hilchos Treifus, they're Siamese twins. Whatever negatively affects a Behema negatively affects an Oif. Yesra Lein Oif. Oif has one more Treifa than the Behemas have. The Nishbar HaEtzem, Afa Bishloi Nikiv, Krum Shel Mayach. When it comes to the Etzem, meaning the skull, even if you didn't have a neck in the Krum Shel Mayach, it is also Treifa. You remember we had a discussion about that yesterday, whether you're talking about a regular Oif or a Oif Shel Mayim, such as the geese that and the ducks that are typically associated with water. Anyway, so that is even worse than the Behema, because the Behema is only Treifa if it's Nikev Krum Shel Mayach. Here, Nishbar Etzem Avabisha, Loi Nikev Krum Shel Mayach. If you have Nebuch, the skull was hit, and hit very violently, so that there's a shever up in the Etzem. Even if the Krum Shel Mayach remained in place, no Nekev, no nothing, it's still Treif. So, Oibazoi, what are you telling me that when Chizki said, Ein Rea L'Oif, that means that there's no Simen Tarfis L'Rea, but of course there's a Simen Tarfis. The same Simonim you have by Behema. You have the same concerns by the Oif. That's what Levi said. Treif Shimon Chacham Behema connect them Oif. And Oif even has more. So perhaps what Chizki means is, Ela Ein Loi Need Not Loi Need Not Fel V'Loi L'Chomer. Maybe what he meant is that vis-a-vis the Oif, you don't have to worry about the Rea if there was a nefula situation. Remember, we spoke yesterday about if you have risuk evorim inside an oif, just like you have risuk evorim inside an animal. So we said that you have to go and check certain parts of the oif. What are those certain parts of the oif? So we discussed yesterday a number of the joints. You have to go and check. How did Rashi go and set it out yesterday? You have to look at the shedra, the chuta shedra. You have to look at a couple of the bones to make sure that there was no risa kevarim by any of the joints and any of the bones. Zoktimara, so that's what he means by the reya. You don't have to go and check the reya, because the reya is not affected by a nefila, by a risa kevarim. V'loi lichmer. Lichmer here means, remember, nechmeru meyav, that the bird fell into a fire. Then you had to go and check out those parts of the body that are normally the b'nei me'ayim, those which are normally red, make sure they didn't turn green, and those that were green, make sure they didn't turn red, and if they did, you always have that follow-up remedy of going and doing the shlika, and going and, well, besides the amesles, the gabin nefila. Here we're talking about the nechrumeyev. What you can go and do is you can go and reboil either those that are supposed to be red, such as the lave, the kovin, and the korkuban. If they're green, boil them, and if they revert to their original red color, we said, that's kosher, because it's kutra, it was only the smoke. Sorry?
The opposite with the intestine.
The same thing, the opposite with the one that was green. If it turned red, that would also be treif, and once again, you can go and boil it and see whether or not it was a real change of color, or whether it was just because of the kutra. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara is saying that legabe the reya, there is no such issue of nefila of risa kevarim, and not of lechmar that they be turned red or green. That is not an issue vis-a-vis the reya. Zok the Gemara, my taima, if that is in fact what Cheskia meant, that he said, ain reyali oif, that you don't have to worry about these two concerns, risa kevarim and the change of color, my taima, amrav chana hoil v'roiv taliseah meginois aleah. That's because the reya of the oif is well ensconced within the rib cage, and therefore the ribs go and protect it very nicely, so you don't have to worry about those particular types of treifas. Vreitim avamer Rabbi Yochanan, yeshloi v'yeshna ke'ola shel vered bein agafayim. You saw from the response of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan said to Chizkiah, what are you saying that ein reya le'oif? Yeshloi, avad it has the yeshna, and it looks just like the Allah shelveret, meaning like a petal of a rose, beina gafayim, and you find it right there between the wings. So obviously from Rabbi Yochanan's response to Chizkiah, it doesn't sound like they're having an argument on particular hilchos tarfis in the Reya, whether there's a din of risa kevarim, whether there's a din of esh that it turns colors. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that and say, no, there is a din of nefila, there's a din of risa kevarim, there's a din of the nechrumeh. He didn't say that. He said, no, it's there. It's physically there. Machlal, the Chizkiah saw with the last leg. Apparently, Chizkiah really believes that there is no lungs inside a foigel, inside a bird. So, Timur, Amimarov in Eretz Yisrael, they said, Mishmei Derbi Yoyz Reb Chanina, Medvarov Shel Beribi. Beribi means Kudul Hadar. We're giving Chizkiah the full title of Kudul Hadar. Nicker, we can tell She'ein Boki Betarne Goylen. He's not that familiar with chickens. Now, what does that mean, he's not familiar? So there's a Rashi. The Rashi is about 5-6 lines lower than where we are. Rashi said, not only in a boki, in a rogel, le'echol tarne goylem. Apparently he doesn't eat chicken.
Maybe he's a vegetarian.
Maybe he's a vegan. Okay. However, and there, well, that's one, just one second. Lefichach, and therefore, says Rashi, lo yoda im yesh l'reya. That's why he doesn't know. He never buys chicken, so he doesn't know what it has. But you see, in the good old days, if you bought a chicken, you would know of a ray. But then Rashi finishes off. This is, of course, said in a jocular sense. It's not meant seriously, because everybody eats chicken at a minimum. You don't necessarily eat chicken every day. Maybe you don't eat it every week, but you certainly eat it once in a while. And if you buy a chicken, then you see that it has a ray in it. So apparently he made a mistake, a boo-boo, thinking that there is no ray, but there is a ray inside the chicken, just like a behemoth has a reya, and just like a human being has a reya, so too oifizav, even though they're very, very small. Small as a rose petal, but it's there. And Chizkiah was not familiar. Yeah?
No, it's a little myth thing that he didn't pick up on.
He probably left the cleansing of the chicken and moving the innards to his wife or to the servant or whoever was working there, the dienst, whoever was helping out at home.
It's interesting the Gemara records this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so incorrect, yet the Gemara records it.
This
is the Kachaya. Kachaya.
People thought the chickens don't have a rib.
Chizkiah is Beribi. The word Beribi is a title which is used throughout Shas, typically to refer to a Gudul Hadar. So here too, if you look at the... He knew Kol HaTorah Kula from Brochus through Nida, Bavli, Yerushalmi, every Medrash, every Zoyer, every everything, but he didn't know the anatomy of a bird. If you look at the word, the Rashi Shel Beribi, just right before that Rashi, which you just saw now, Nikashen Baki B'tarne Goylem, says Rashi Shel Beribi, Chizkiah, Shel Yigodol B'tarne, he was not necessarily Godol Hadar, one of the Gdoylem of the Dar, and therefore you can rely on his godless. Unfortunately, the Gabi Tarna Goylem, he didn't know the anatomy that well.
Abam, we had said here, it says, Geshadem Ho, Nishbar Etzim, Apo Pishadon, Nikit, Shun Shaboah.
Where are you reading from? Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's over the top here. Yes, yeah. Continue on.
I didn't want to interrupt you there, but I thought there, it has to be punctured. We did the Ho test where he put his finger and put pressure.
Squeezed it.
How's it saying here?
That was a case. No, I hear you. That case is talking about a chulda that bit into the head of the bird. Now we're wondering how much damage did it do. The fact that it made a hole in the head, there are a lot of people that walk around, unfortunately, with holes in their head. Okay, I was kidding. Fine. It's all to Lashem Adichusa. But that it has holes in the head, those small little holes, that does not cause the oif to be treif. I'm concerned, however, that maybe by biting it reached into the krum shel moyach and it caused a hole in the membrane. Here we're talking about nishbar o etzem. How was nishbar? Someone took a baseball bat and hit the head of the head of the oif, or stepped on the oif, threw the oif against the wall. Now we take it quickly to the ICU and the doctors confirm, unfortunately, the moyach is broken. Now, if that would have happened by a behemoth, that doesn't mean an automatic tarfis. Rather, you have to go and check whether nick of krum shomaya. But not by an oif, nishba etzim, even if there was no hole in the krum shomaya, just the fact that the it's a broken skull, that's enough to go and declare the oif to be treif. You're very welcome. We're going to continue on now. We had at the top of the umid, we discussed the shmutas yerech bo'oif. Remember, we quoted Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav, and he said, Shmutas Yerech Ba'oif is Treifa. As we're going to see now, and into the Omid Beis, that was not universally accepted. and it wasn't even universally accepted that that's what Rav said, as we'll see momentarily. You too, and a good zimmer, and you'll be back in Mitchum Sunday morning, right? Everybody looks forward to seeing you. Just the opposite. We said at the top, Amr Yehuda Amrav, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Treifa. Rav Huna Amrav says Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Ksheira. Omele Rabba Baravuna L'Ravuna. Rabba Ravuna, being the son of Ravuna, said to his father, Ayv HaRabbanon the awesome Pumbedisa, they're the great rabbis that have come from Pumbedisa. And Amru, they said, like we just quoted at the top of the Amr, that Rav Yehuda said, Mishmei the Rav, Omar, that Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Treifa. So how, Tati, how are you saying that it is Ksheira? Omalei, so he said to him, Bri, my son, Rabba Baravuna, Nara, Nara Upashte. Nara, Nara, the word Nara means a river, and in this connection, Nara, Nara Upashte means that each river flows differently or on its own. So Rashi, for instance, gives an example that there are many rivers that flow Kharif very, very rapidly, and then there are other rivers that flow kind of timidly, just, you know, slowly, slowly but surely, but they're not rapid. How come you're not going as quickly as the other river? Nara Nara Pashti, every river is different. So if you look at the Rashi, Nara Nara Pashti, just go down about 3-4 lines from where we are in the Gemara. Ein Pashti Hanor, Pshati Hanor means the tides or the waves of the Nor, they're not doimin, Zecharif is Zeoimid. Some rivers go very quickly, very rapidly, and some, you know, are slow. Kach ein minigam koimis doime. It's a different minhagim. For Rav Ksheiris Viralei. Like I said, Rav Huna says to his son, I'm telling you, Rav holds its kosher. For Rav Bnei Pumbedisa, Rav was in Pumbedisa, or he saw those immigrants from Pumbedisa. Shenogu beiser, that they were very makbid not to eat from this such a yeshmutas hayerach ba'oif, and therefore. He didn't want to be matter them, because if that's been your minig now for years, based on your gedolim and your rabbonim and your poskim, then fine, I'm not going to go and cause trouble. Rav Yehuda Pumbedisa Hava, Rav Yehuda that we quoted at the time of the Amud, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, that Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Treifa, he was from Pumbedisa, Vesava Rav Tarfa Svirlei, since he saw that Rav was visiting in Pumbedisa, or he was in the kehillah of the Bnei Pumbedisa, and they were noig boy Isser, and Rav didn't get up on the beam and scream out and say, Rabbi Yisai, I want you to know, your minig is a minig betoos, it's mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. So he assumed that Rav Yehuda from Pumbedisa assumed that Rav also held that it's treifa, but really and truly, Sir Rav Huna, no, I know for sure he held that it's kosher. He just didn't want to make waves, especially because each river has different waves. So Omali Bri, Nara Nara Pashtim. But really and truly he holds like me, that is Ksheir. Also Rav Abba, Ashkhe, Rav Yirme, Berabba, the Kabodik, B'Tzema Segidim, like we had at the top of the Omid, he was checking out to make sure the Tzema Segidim are all in place, have not been severed. Omale, Lomale Lamar Kulihai, why are you bothering checking the Tzema Segidim? For Avhuna Omarav, we just learned, Hod Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Ksheir. Now, mind you, these are two different things. Here we're talking about the Tzema Segidim, which is on the bottom of the pulka, when you're talking about the drumstick, when you're talking about a chicken. If you have a drumstick which is not that clean on the bottom, you'll see it has that yellow skin cover, and it goes up a little bit on that bottom. So some people, you know, immediately rip it off. Virtually nobody eats it, to my knowledge. But nevertheless, that's where the Tzema Segidim are in the live bird. And so he was being boidik, and he said to him, why do you have to be boidik? Rav Huna Amar Rav, the Shmuta Seyerech, if the Yerech, meaning if the thigh, has come out of the hip bone of the chicken, of the oif, it's kosher. And therefore the Gemara is assuming the same thing would apply to the Tzema Segidim. In other words, when it comes to the legs, and I'm really so concerned. You're concerned about the Tzema Segidim, which are the bottom. Even if the leg were totally dislocated entirely from the oif, it would still be kosher. So vus muchitzach, why do you bother with the Tzema Segidim? Amalei, ano masnisi yadana. I hear your svari, it looked good, but I know a braisa, a mishnah. What does it say? Behema shenechtechu ragleha, here we're talking about behema, nechtechu ragleha, minakuvu lamata ksheira, minakuvu lamala psula. We're going to talk about this more in Mi'at Hashem, on daf ayin vav, where this it really appears. What the definition of arkuva is always a shaila in the Gemara, whether arkuva means the joint which is at the knee or the joint which is at the ankle. But we don't need to get into that for today. The important thing is that that Mishnah later on in Daf Ayin Vav says that if the leg was cut min arkuva lamata from beneath that joint, kosher. Min arkuva lamala above that joint, it's psulim. That so far is not important for our purposes. What is important is v'chayin shenitl tzaymes ha'agidim, that would also be psula. That's what the Mishnah says. Be'mi shenechtu graglea, kuvu l'mat v'kshayin, min arkuvu l'mal psula. V'chayin, not only the min arkuvu l'mal is psula, but even nitl tzaymes ha'agidim is also possible. Now that's true about a behemah. V'yomar Rav Allah, and Rav, when he was learning that Mishnah, he said, and the same thing applies, v'chayin ba'oif, that also is psula. Ah, so I see that tzaymes ha'agidim is psula. So that's why when Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba saw, when Rabbi Abba saw Rabbi Yirmiyahu ben Abba that he was boiting tzaymes ha'agidim, he said, don't you know that Rav Huna Amar, Rav said that Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is kshera, so therefore the chayra that tzaymes ha'agidim is lomala v'leimayir, I don't care. Says Yimara v'yomar Rav Allah, v'chein ba'oif, the same halacha applies to an oif, that it's all to taka apostle. And that's the reason why I'm being boidik the tzaymis agidin. Now I have a steer Rav and Rav. Rav says if the whole leg came off and it's dislocated, he says it's kosher. But if the tzaymis agidin happened to be severed, then it's possible. Does that make sense? Ishtik, he didn't know what to answer. And then after that, Omalei said, you know what? Maybe dilmashoni lo ben shmuta lechatucha. Maybe there's a difference between shmuta, which means dislocated. That's the nishmita that we've been talking about. Lechatucha, because that mishta starts off behema, shenechtechu ragleha min arkuva. Nechtechu has one din, shmuta has another din. So therefore, there's really no kash in the first place. Omalei told them back, the atma farshis, Shmaitzid Rav, you're trying to end for the stira Rav on Rav. You don't need to go and say this on your own. Befeidish Omer Rav, Rav said on his own, Shmut is Ksheira, Chatucha is Psula. That even though we're talking about the same leg, Shmuta, the leg is dislocated, it's no longer in its hip bone, this oif for the rest of its life is going to have to go around with a walker or with a shtekin, and it's going to go and take a lot of painkillers because the yerech is out of place, but it's kosher. Chatuch, however, if part of it was severed, then it's psula. Partial amputation is possible. And you say to yourself, I don't understand. It really, this oif doesn't have the usage of its leg anymore. It's just dangling and hanging there because it's dislocated. But that's still kosher. Chatuch, if part of it is amputated, then it's possible. Valtisma, don't ask, how could this be? Sheri choitcha mikan umesa, choitcha mikan v'choisa. Depending on where you sever the leg of an animal, or in this case the oif, in certain cases it's going to be kosher, in certain cases it's going to be possible. For instance, you would normally think, as you go up higher and higher on the leg, higher and higher on the thigh, there would be more of a svara that it should be possible, and that it should be treif. But that's not necessarily the case. If you cut down below by the tzumas hagid, and that's where you cut, this is a goner, the behemah and or the oif. But if you go and above the point of the tzumas hagid, and it can live. So you see that it doesn't necessarily go by human logic, it goes by halacha Moshe Sinai, what the din is, and Rav made a distinction between shmuta and chatuch. So now this back and forth that we just had now, the Gemara is going to repeat almost word for word now on the Amud Beis, as you'll see. See, Gemara tells us, remember this started off, this was a discussion, Reb Abba asking Reb Yirmi Bar Abba, why are you checking the Tzemus Hagin? Says the Gemara, Kisolik Reb Abba Ashkechei Reb Zeira Di Yosef V'Ka'amar. So Rashi tells us a little bit of the background here, that both Reb Abba and Reb Zeira both went up to Eretz Yisrael to live. In other words, they were both went on Aliyah from Babel to Eretz Yisrael.
Reb Zeira, it's south, it's still Aliyah.
Can you imagine? It's a Yerida, Letzerech Aliyah. Anyway, who went first? First came Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira went a year before, 5 years before. Doesn't say how much time, but he went to Eretz Yisrael first. And now Reb Abba is coming to Eretz Yisrael. And Reb Abba is coming to Eretz Yisrael, he wants to know what are they learning here in Bais Medrash in Eretz Yisrael. So, Kisolik Reb Abba Ashkel Reb Zeira, he found Reb Zeira, the Yosef HaKa'oma that he was darshaning for the Talmidim, or Paskening, Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Treifa. Not like we said, in the middle of the Omer, we had Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Ksheira. And now Reb Zeira is saying, no, in the name of the same Rav Huna, Omer Rav, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Treifa. Omalei. So now Reb Abba is addressing Reb Zeira. He's saying, Chai de Mar, swearing the name of Mar of your life. Miyoyim de Solik Mar Lahocha, from the day that Mar, meaning you Reb Zeira, left Bavel and you went on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, Havalon Pischon Peh Kamid Ravuna. We had a full fledged discussion in front of Ravuna. You see the top Rashi. What does it mean, Pischon Peh? Kloimahus Katnu. We had this shayla that arose. What's the din? This very shayla, nishmato hayerach of an oif, and we were in front of Rav Huna, and we asked him, Rebbe, vazokti v'amalan ksheri. He said that it was kosher. Moreover, continues the Gemara, v'sheilna v'amalan. Okay, well, piskam pekami Rav Huna. In other words, we had the ability and the availability of Rav Huna, and we asked him, v'sheilna v'amalan that it's ksheri. Not like you, Reb Zeira, that just said that it was treif. The Ashkach, the name of the Rabbi Rabbi'ama, the Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba, the Yosef Vikabodik B'Tzoymus Hagin. And in fact, we saw Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba being Bodik B'Tzoymus Hagin. And now the Gemara repeats word for word what we said in the Amid Aleph, the Akshilei. And we asked him, Rebbe, Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba, Leisovel Amar, Hodi Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, don't you remember Rav Huna Amar Rav said that Shmutas Hiyara Ba'oif is Ksheira? He didn't say, nah, you're all wrong, it's treifa. No, he said, yo, biskerecht, it's ksheira. Omalei, but he said to them, said Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba to Rabbi Abba, and he said, ano masis niyadana, ich ken decha Mishnah. What does it say in the Mishnah? Behema shenechtechu ragleh min arkuva ulamata. If the behema, the legs were cut from the joint and below, it's ksheira. Min arkuva lamala, if it's above the joint, then it's possible. And the key for us, v'chein nittel tzoymas agin, it's parcel. The Omer Rav Allah, this is not only halacha by behema, v'chein ba'oif, same thing applies to an oif. And therefore, that being the case, what do I see from Rav that he holds by oif, nittel tzoymas agin, is parcel. That's why I, Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba, I'm looking over the tzoymas agin to make sure that it's not parcel. The Amrile. And then they ask the question, Yehochi kasha de Rav ad Rav. Don't they have a stira Rav and Rav? Rav said at the top of the Yomid and on the Yomid Aleph, that Shemudas Yerech Ba'oiv is ksheira. If you have a major dislocation, it's kosher. And the same Rav, V'chein Ba'oiv, is saying by the Tzoyma Sahidin, if those are severed, he's saying it's treif. Does that make sense? So initially, Ishtik, he was quiet. The Akshilei, and then I asked him, or he asked me, and he said, "V'dilma shani leil Rav ben Shmuta lechatucha." Maybe there's a fundamental difference between Shmuta and Chatucha. By Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif, it's kosher, but the Chatucha of the Gidin, maybe that's treif. The Omali, and then he said to me, "The Atma Farshish Shmaita de Rav, you're just trying to explain the two Shmaitas that they should be consistent, and you on your own are saying." This is a shmuta, this is a chatucha, they're different. You didn't need to go and say that. Befeirish Omer Rav. Rav himself said Befeirish, shmuta ksheira chatucha psula. And therefore, what do we see from this whole back and forth? Rav Abba is now telling Rav Zeira very, very clearly, by uns in the heim, when we were in Bavel, until I was now oiled to Eretz Yisrael, I had the availability of speaking to Rav Huna. And he said, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Ksheira. I asked about Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba, what does he say that Rav said? Shmuta is Lechud, Chatuch is Lechud, but Shmuta Tak is kosher. And Rabbi Zeira, you're saying that it's not kosher, but at Ma Biyodcha, where are you taking this from, that you're saying that it's treif? Rav Chiya Barashi, at Ma Biyodcha, Hachi Omer Rav Chiya Barashi told him, this is what Rav Chiya Barashi said in the name of Rav, the same Rav, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif is Treifa. V'chein Omer Bianca bar Idi Omer B'yoychanan Shemut is Yerah Ba'oif is Treifa. Therefore, this is Dover Kosher and Dover Chomer. Don't say you heard Rav Huna Marav said it's kosher, because Rav Achia Bar Ashi said it's treif in the name of Rav. Rav Yanka Bar Idi Amar Yochanan said it's treif. So therefore it's treif. From Rav Yanka Bar Idi, Il Moli Haver Rav Yochanan Ba'asra, Do'iru Ba Chavrosa Lahateira. Rav Yochanan was very, very respectful. If he would have been in a place where the other Chaver, meaning the other Tamid HaChacham, Paskin Lahater, Le'Perchis, he would not flutter his wings. That means he would not say a word. He wouldn't say a peep. You want to say it's kosher? You know, you're also great Talmid Chachamim. I'm not going to go and argue with you. Zizokstu, he would not go and make a macha and say no. In fact, the Omer Rav Chanina, Omer Rabbi, Rav Chanina said in the name of Rabbi, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif Ksheira, and the Tana Goylis, Hoysaloy Rav Chanina, Shenishmeta Yerach Shala, our case, Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif. They deal if they Rebbe, and he brought it to Rebbe. They tell Rebbe, he said it's mutalach. Umolcha Reb Chanina, and Reb Chanina then salted it. Now Pashim Shat salted means to go and get out blood. The blood. But Rashi says that the reason why he salted it is because he wanted to preserve it. Remember, in the good old days, they didn't have refrigerators and freezers. So if you wanted to go and preserve fish and or meat, you salted it very heavily, and that would go and preserve it. He specially preserved it. Why? So it should be a zecher la'olamim. V'avimoyri b'halacha l'talmidim. He would go and show his talmidim year after year after year in yeshiva. He apparently gave the smicha shir, or the treifa shir, and he would show his talmidim, zehi t'lirabi. See this piece of chicken? You see this shmuta sayera? I know all of you are saying, shmuta sayera, oh, treifa. No, you should know. Rebbe was matir it. Not that he wrote, gave it to me in writing. Not that I have a tape recording. This is the Shmutas Yerach Ba'oif itself. You see it? When did this happen? 10 years ago. So how come it doesn't stink? Because I salted it 10 years ago. Zehit li Rabbi. And therefore, that's now the end of this fascinating discussion involving Reb Abba and Reb Zeira and Reb Yirmi Bar Abba and Reb Yoichanan and Rabbi and Reb Chanina. But bottom line is, less hilchasa kechol hanishmaitza. Gesundheit. This is not halacha. This was only to go and have an expansive, exploratory discussion about this shaila. Gesundheit.
From A to Z. Abba to Zero.
Very good. Elikiha de shoal Reb Yosi ben Nohiroi as Reb Yishua ben Levi. He asked him the following question. Kederas kona bekama. Kedera over here doesn't mean a pot. Kedera means a cut from Nikdar Hakona. Kona, of course, is referring to the windpipe. If there's a cut in the windpipe, what would be the din that you would now... Not only we're talking about there was a cut, but also talking about that Rashi says we're missing a shtickel of the Kona, right, which was the size of an aruba, size of like a small window. He wants to know what is the shear on that.
Right.
That we said earlier on, that there's a difference between a kana where there is a nekev without a chesaron, or a nekev where there is a chesaron. Mm-hmm. A nekev which has a chesaron, and the shear is kisri talki, the shear of an iser. Can the iser fit through or not? Then we had a discussion. Do you say ad b'chal, ad b'loy, ad b'chal? Yeah, all of that is fascinating. But that's
not
what.
Kasher, then it's row.
Sorry, Nachum?
If it's not
chaser,
then it's
rov.
Right?
If it's not chaser, then the shear is rov. Correct. But if it's chaser, then you go mitta issa. Good. Very good. And he asked him, Amaloi, v'ali Rochel achas hoise b'shchuna seinu. Rochel, as you know, means we're not talking about a lady by the name of Rochel. We're talking about an animal which is a female lamb. And in Finn's English, that's called a
ewe.
E-W-E. Called a ewe. So this Rachel Achas Hoyt Rechuna Seinem, Shenikter Kona Shelah, and in fact it had such a large hole in the Kona, and everybody said, Treifa. And guess what they did? V'osolah Krumin Shel Kona, they went and put on it a Krum. Krum is a membrane. We don't mean either they transplanted a membrane from somewhere else, or it really means that they put a bandage on top of the Kona, and V'choysa. And guess what? This bird not this bird, this animal, this racha, was able to live for another while. We'll soon see in the Gemara how much longer it lived. But Lamaise, it lived. And therefore, we understand what's stated in the Mishnah. You said, the Mishnah says, Akis Ritalki, we had such a kana, mita such a rochel, and a kana that had a whole Kisri Talki, more than Isri Talki, and then they went and put a bandage over and medication and who knows what, Choysen was able to continue living. Zeisrach, that it's not a trefer after all.
No, they did it, technically.
We're going to see Mitashim.
They had to cut up the skin of the, to arrive to the corner.
Surgery.
You have to
make
an entire surgery.
We're talking about
the neck of the animal.
Yes, the behemoth belonged to the king, and the money was not an object. And this is his favorite shepsela, this Rachel. In fact, he probably even called it Rachel. And his wife's name was Queen Mary, and Mary had a little lamb, and this was very, very favorite to them. And then they heard that the animal had some sort of pneumonia because it was coughing and it was sneezing, and they said, we have to take it to the veterinarian. The veterinarian opened up that whole area with anesthetics and all the rest and said, here's the problem. The problem is that there's a hole in the corner. Oi, what are we going to do? And they put this medicated piece of
bandage.
A bandage on it, and it was able to continue living, and the king and the queen were so happy.
And yeah. Before you said, might be able to live for another while, but maybe for another aisle.
Ho, ho, ho. Beautiful. So getting back to our Gemara, Sivozok yetz the Gemara, Nochamu. Yeah, okay.
Second one.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you bringing that to my attention. But Freiti Mor, Valdo at Samech, you want to be Samech on this, and therefore ask Akash in the Mishnah, how does the Mishnah said it's Treifa? Valoi Haloch Revachas Bi Yisrael. There's a similar parallel case. What is that case? Oh, Shemutas Yerev. For all those that were nervous, we forgot about it. No, we're back to it again. Shemutas Yerev. Oy, Treifa. That's why the Gemara said, we don't follow all of those discussion that we had before. Kosher. No, it's not a Treifa. Yet, the Tarnagoilis, Reb Shimon Chalafta had a Tarnagoilis, a hen, Shenishmata Yerech Shelah, where the Yerech went and popped out, was dislocated. And what did they do? They made a shweferes shel kana. They put a splint with a kana, with a reed or two, on that yerech of the oif, and it lived. Can you imagine? Nishmata, the whole thing was dislocated, and nevertheless, you said it's treifa. And we went and put up this splint, and we kept it in place, and gevaldik, and the oif is hopping around, and he's doing a great job, and he lived. So you see that it's not a treif after all. But we said that it's a treif. And lemay yislach lemayma, what are you going to have to answer? Toich yud beis chodesh ava. Achanami toich yud beis chodesh ava. The Gemara means to say is, even if you hold that treif einachai, a treif cannot go and live a long life because it's a treif, takanish. By 12 months, it can live according to everybody, or at least we think according to everybody. We're going to change that shortly. But in the meantime, up to 12 months it can live. So the fact that you see, either in the case of the kana that was damaged, and you put on that bandage, and or in the case of the shmuta seyerech that you put on the splint, and they continue to survive, they'll survive for another 6 months, up to 12 months. More than 12 months, it's not going to work. So therefore, you have no raya from those Maaseh Shehoya, because they're treifa, both the Shmutas and Yerech. But if it's treifa, Aloch Lamaisev, as well as if it's open Kisri Talki, it's a treifa. So now the Gemara tells us further about experiments. Omru Olav Arab Shimon ben Chalafta, She'askan Bidvorim Hoya. Askan Bidvorim means he also used to experiment to see whether things are in fact the way they are presented and taught. He specially did something to go and negate what Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah. What did Rabbi Yehuda say yesterday in the Mishnah? Shei Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, this was the last line of the Mishnah. Im nitla ha-noitza psula. The noitza means the feathers which are very, very close to the surface. We don't mean feathers that extend from the wings. Sorry?
Ones that are out there.
Right, exactly.
Up, over the wings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That we see flapping. No, right. The ones that are close by.
And in fact, they're so down on the surface that the article defines it as down. D-O-W-N.
Down
feathers. Down feathers. Can you imagine? Now you know where that term comes from. So they were down. What happens in Nitla Hanoitza? Those down feathers are missing. What's Allah? It's Psula. So Rabbi Yehuda, this oif is a goner, and therefore it has the status of a treifa. And yet, says Reb Shimon ben Chalafta, Tanagodis Hoysa Lloyd Reb Shimon Chalafta, he had a Tanagodis, a hen, Shenitla Noita Shalah, it had that problem that unfortunately all of those tiny feathers, the down, had been plucked, and presumably they're now in somebody's pillow and somebody's lying on it. And what did Reb Shimon Chalafta do? Reb Shimon Chalafta said to himself, you know what the tarfis is by this oif? It's probably cold, because no longer has the down, it doesn't have a down blanket, it doesn't even have the down feathers. V'nicha b'tanur, and therefore he put it into a warm oven, a warm atmosphere. Doesn't mean chas, not too hot, no, Baruch Hashem, but they, if it got a little bit too hot, they put on the air conditioning to make sure it wouldn't get too hot. V'tala alei b'matlis shel tarsian, and it covered it over a matlis. Matlis is usually a shmata, but here we mean a large shmata that was used by the tarsian. Who are the Tarsiums? These are the coppersmiths, says Rashi. And they, in their workshop, they had such a special shmata that would go and collect in it any little piece of shirayim. If you look at Rashi, right before halfway down the Rashis, about 45% down. Yeah?
What is it? Okay, natal down is the layer of down feathers.
Oh, you see that?
That cover most birds at some point in their early development.
Oh.
Okay.
Good.
Down feathers are the softest types of feather on a bird.
Okay. Beautiful. Well, great for showing that, for sharing that with us. My whole life, I was always wondering where this word down comes from, and now I have a much better feel for it. Shkoyach. V'tolalei, looking at the Rashi. Rashi is almost halfway down the Amud. V'tolalei b'matlis shel tarsim z'drashi korcha, covered over this oif that's missing the down feathers. And what was he koirach? Koirach means angevikot. It means he put over it. What is angevikot?
Surrounded.
Surrounded. Okay, good. He surrounded with matlis, this shmata of the tzorf enochoshes. Tzorf enochoshes means copper smiths. Shenoit lefneim. They usually put it in front of them on their table or whatever in their workshops. The kabel afruris shchoke nochoshes. In case you get little pieces of nochoshes that fall away in the smelting, or in the cutting, or in the chiseling, or whatever. So those would fall onto the matlis. Mishal orhi, and this is made out of leather. V'tomidi chama mitoich oivya, because it's so thick, and it's receiving all of these little pieces here and there, there it's always warm. V'gaman choshet mecham li'olam. So therefore, bottom line, Rashi wants to tell us why he used dafka such a matlis shel tarsim, because it was well known that this was a very warm sweater, warm covering, to go and put over these poor birds that lost their down. And what did he do? The gidla kinafayim hoachroyim yoisim and rishayim. As a result of doing such a wonderful job in warming up this tiny goylis, it produced now greater and more feathers and etc. than it had originally. So you see from that, don't go and tell me that Nitla Hanoitzer Yehuda is treif and fossil. I'll show you that this bird can be rehabilitated to regenerate brand new down, and it can, you know, have a achris yomim, it can have a arichas yom. So Gemara, what's the raya? Don't look at Rabbi Yehuda treif and mishabachas. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though it's a treifa, at least temporarily it can go and improve. Not that this is a permanent sign of chius. Really, it's still a treifa. Yeah, but temporarily, for the next few months, in fact, it can expand and grow and enlarge its down feathers.
So it's optimistic. When you're down, you can come back.
Exactly, and the down can come up. So if you more again, the midi the mitrefa ba he dila kanafayim hachroinim yoisim rishonim. What he's saying is, I can appreciate that a Yehuda could hold treifa mishabachas, but in other respects, it lost all of its plumage, all of its down. So in other respects, maybe it could be mashbiach in other parts of the anatomy of the bird. But the midi, the mitrefaba, the very thing that the Yehuda says is treifa, you're going to tell me he dila kanafayim hachroni yoytam rishoinen, that it now is improved and getting better and better, that the new plumage or the new feathers that have grown are even thicker and warmer and better than what we had originally. That's not Ola Aladas. That, the Choyra, doesn't make sense. So therefore, Reb Shimon Chalavta figured, I have a foolproof experiment that shows that Reb Yehuda was incorrect. Now, we referred to him as being the Askan Bidvarim. How did he get that title, my Askan Bidvarim? Omer Misharishi, it says in the Pasuk, very well-known Pasuk in Mishle, where the Pasuk says, Leich el Nemola, you Otzel, you Atzlan, you lazy guy, go and take a look at the ant, a Nemola, Re'ed Rachel, go and see how it conducts business, it conducts itself, V'chakam, and you can become smart. Even though Asher Ein Lo Kotzin Shoiter Umoyshel, even though it has no boss, no supervisor above it, this is a hard-working Nemola. Every Nemola works very hard, even without anybody barking orders, and without having to punch the clock. It doesn't have a Kotzin, it doesn't have an officer. Shoiter, it doesn't have a policeman. Moishel, it doesn't have a king. Nobody's in charge of this Nemola. Nevertheless, the Nemola works diligently and hard. That's what it says in the Pasuk in Mishlei. Zok the Gemara, and the Pasuk continues on, Tochen Bekayitz Lachma, it appears during the summer months. It's Lechem for the whole year, so that it should have for him, and it, and its family. So now, this is what it says in the Pasuk. So Omar said now, Reb Shimon ben Chalavta, Ezel Echsei Ivadihu, I want to be able to go and establish, is that really true? Yes or no? The Leslu Malka, that it doesn't have a melech. We said at the end that it doesn't have a cotton shirt to march. Everybody knows that the mullah works very hard, because if you have an anthill anywhere, you see they're constantly coming and going and going and coming, and they all try to bring back a small little piece, and they hide it away for later dates to be able to go and eat it and supply their family. And how do you know that it doesn't have a melech? So, what did he do? So it was our time of year, Ozel B'tkufas Tammuz, oh, back in time of Tammuz, not time. What did he do, Reb Shimon Chalavta? He found such an anthill full of ants. Parasei L'glime, and he took out one of his jackets, one of his cloaks, and he covered over Akina D'Shem Shemani, over that anthill. Why did he do that? Says Rashi, because ants are similar to human beings. Hanemolim oyhavim tzeil v'soynim choyim. They love it when it's shade. They get very upset when it's very hot and humid. Here too on Western Avenue, when you're walking midday, look at which side is shady, exactly. Look which side it's sunny, and you'll find the shady side is 5 or 10 degrees cooler than the sunny side. So that's how ants feel about this too, that they want the shade. Oh, so nofek osa chad minayu, one of the ants who was within that anthill was saying to himself, hey, what's going on? It was so sunny a moment ago, and all of a sudden it's dark. What did he do? He left the anthill, and when he came out, he, Reb Shimon Chalavta, Aslach Be Simna, he put a simen on that little ant. Yes, he painted it, maybe a red with sikra or something, to be able to identify the ant. Oh, and the ant went back into the anthill. Amalahu, and he told all of his fellow aunts and uncles, and he told them, "Now, Voltula, guess what? Baruch Hashem, it's shady, it's givaldik. Nafkuvi asu." Now, all of them now left the anthill to go and enjoy the shady temperature instead of the hot sun. And now they'll be able to diligently be able to collect together food, etc. And then Reb Shimon Chalavta, Dalil Glimi, picked up the cloak that was covering until now the anthill. Nafal Shimsha and Naflu Aleh. And now it started getting the burning hot sun that was there previously. I'm sorry, Nafal Shimsha. So now the Shemesh came out, and all of them were quite distraught, depressed, and distressed. What did they do? Naflu Aleh. All of the fellow ants went, and they jumped on that first ant, the one that had the simen, but Katle, and they killed
without
that ant. Without a trial.
It was a lynch mob.
It was a lynch mob, and a lynch mob, they went and lynched that first ant for telling them the wrong story. He deceived all of them. That's the end of the first part of the story. So now Reb Shimon Chalavta says, Omer Shmami no leslu malka. I prove the pasuk that Ein lan kotzir shoiter umoishu. What's the riot? The islahu, if they did have a king, how could they go and just kill him. Stam as I horman the malka lately, boy. Don't they have to have the approval, the authorization of the king? In other words, of some higher authority. Maybe not the king, but don't you have to go to the police? Don't you have to go and ask the district attorney, the attorney general, a judge? How can you go and execute on their own? Oh, so he experimented and he showed. Ein lehen, they don't have a katzin shoyter umashu. Says the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to add three or four possible scenarios where really they typically do have a melech, and they were still able to go and have the lynch mob go and lynch this act. Maybe in fact everybody was deceived by this ant, or they felt that he was deceived by this ant, because he said it's all shady, everybody can come out. And guess one of the ants that came out was the melech himself. He probably was the last one after everybody left, or maybe he was the first one. But the point of all of this is that as soon as they realized that that first ant had deceived them, then the king said, let's go, and we're going to go and lynch him. And the king, therefore, was together with them. So you have no right that there was no king. There was a king, and he authorized it on the spot. Inami Horman of the Malka of the Nikiti. Or maybe they had with them at all times these ants. They had with them the authorization of the king. What does that mean, they had the authorization? Says Rashi, Shekol HaMahasel Bechaveiro Yehargu. This was one of the local royal regulations of the king, that anybody, Yehaslu, anybody that hassles you and deceives you and causes you tzuris, you're allowed to go and kill that other ant.
And in return, they would feather his nest.
Wow. Inami, or maybe bin Malka Lamalkahave. It could very well be that day. It was after the untimely death of the prior king, and they had not coronated and inaugurated yet a new king. Tichsev, after all, even by Yidin, shteitach in the Torah, v'yom mehem ein melech b'Yisrael, isha yoshev ein av yasa. If it's in between monarchies, the old one passed away, or whatever, the new one hasn't appointed yet, then everything is hefker. So that's maybe what happened among the ants as well. They typically do have a moshel, and today they didn't have a moshel because they just came back from Levaya of the old one, and they didn't appoint the new one yet. Says the Gemara, Einachanami. Therefore, Reb Shimon Chalafta, the experiment was beautiful, but it is not conclusive. But rather, said Reb Shimon Chalafta, you know what? Smoich em nusa d'shleima. Let's just rely on what Shleima Melech said in Mishlei. If he told you that they don't have a katzin, shoyter moshel, you can rely on Shleima Melech even without my experiment. Now, we spoke about whether or not a treifa could live up to 12 months or not. That was the Gemara on the fourth wide line. So the Gemara tells us now, Omer of Huna, similar treifa, yud beis chodesh. If any animal or any oif has been declared a treifa and yet continues to survive more than 12 months, it's a siman that this is in fact a kosher animal or a kosher bird after all. Azei zok profuna. Meisve, you're telling me that there's this 12-month test. I have over here a brisa, and it doesn't say anything about 12 months. The brisa says siman letreifa, kosher ein yeledet. If you had a female animal that unfortunately had a siman tarfus, you know for a fact that it can no longer reproduce, it can no longer have kids.
Right.
That's a
no
siman, that's a treifa. Sorry,
no fruit of the womb.
No fruit of the womb. Good. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishabachas v'hileches v'yidua shehi psheira. Misnav the v'hileches v'yidua shehi treifa. Look at this animal from the moment that this animal got a siman tarfus and see what happens. If you see this animal or this bird is mishabeach, meaning that Baruch Shem improves and blossoms and flourishes, then you know that it's kosher. On the other hand, if you find that the animal is going downhill, decaying and deteriorating, Rabbi Oimer, simon letreif v'shloishim yoyim. If the animal or the oif can live 30 days, it's a simon that it's kosher. In other words, it's not a treif. It doesn't live 30 days. So it's not a 12-month rule, it's a 30-day rule. We have found animals or birds that we assume, and ultimately we find that it's a treifa, and they were able to live two or three more years. This guy, 30 days, two or three years. So where does this 12 months come from? In fact, it's a machlok tanoi because I have another brisa. The sign is stated on the brisa. Ubegoilis sheyesh bon nekev echad oruch, afilin nekovim harbi mitzdar from lumloi maktach. We've spoken about this already a couple of times. Here the Gogolus is referring to a human being, the Gabi Hilchois Timas Oil, that if you have a full Gogolus, then it's Matama Ba'oil. Even though you don't have the rest of the person, you just have that Nebuch, just the head, that's already enough, the skull, to go and be Timas Oil. However, if the Gogolus has a Chisoran in it, what's that Chisoran? It has Nekev Echad Oroch, as a long, long Nekev, or even many smaller Nekev, but they mistarf him. Lemlay Maktach, Maktach means a drill, especially a physician's drill. If that's the size of the chisoran of the hole, then it takes away the tumas oil from this gugot. And the same thing, remember we had the gemara before, the same thing applies to hilchos treifos, that if the animal had such a hole like Lemlay Maktach, it would be a confirmed treif. Amr b'yoyisim en amshulam, ma'asa b'invul, invul is the name of a place, b'echot shenifgasa gilgaltoi, that Nebuch, somebody, his head got, his skull got crushed to a certain extent. Chiduk shel kruya, and they made for him a chiduk. What's that? A chiduk shel kruya. The last line of Rashi, parallel to our Gemara. Chaticha shel delas yevesha. They took a piece of dried out gourd, dried out pumpkin, or whatever. Watermelon. Yeah. And what did they do? And they put it in that hole which he had. Nebuchadnezzar gogoyles v'koy, and he lived. So therefore we see that even though a Gogolus has Kimlei Maktach, it's not automatically a goner, the person is a dead. He continued to thrive. You're trying to bring a riot from there. That took place during the beginning of the summer season. As soon as the Yemoisachama and the Yemoisatzina passed by, he died. Now, how much time do you have in Yemoy Sacham and Yemoy Satsina together? 6 months. Well, 6 months is 12 months altogether. So therefore, that's where the Gemara took before this Toichir Beit Chodesh from this man, the Yomar, that says that that person was not able to live with a watermelon helmet on his head, but not for more than 12 months, because a Treifa is Chaya, but not more than 12 months. Or Bacha B'Yankiv, Halacha, Treifa Yehledes U'Meshebachas. In other words, not like these two first pandiyomim in that first brisa, where the first brisa says that if the animal is a treifa, it can no longer give birth. Senishta zoi, a treifa animal can still give birth. Obviously, if it's nitla ho'eim hatapuches, if there's no womb, that's a different story. If it had a hysterectomy, nish. But otherwise, if it has a tarfus anywhere else, that doesn't stop it from reproducing. Umishabachas, not like the second mandiyomim of the brisa of Shimon Gamliel said, mishabachas v'hoilechas. Even though it happens to be a treifa, it could also temporarily continue to blossom and to flourish, even though ultimately it will pass away either at the end of 30 days, at the end of 12 months, at the end of 2 or 3 years. It does not have its normal cycle of longevity because in fact it's a treifa, but that doesn't mean that it cannot reproduce, and it doesn't mean that it couldn't go and continue to at least temporarily flourish and blossom. Stop over here, boys. Wow. I have a wonderful day. I couldn't shop.